Please, will you open the scriptures tonight to 2 Timothy and the chapter 2. It is a daily prayer request and has been for many years, and many of you will know this. Show me a token for good. And this day certainly has been very gracious and merciful as far as the Lord's dealings are concerned with us. A breath of God this morning at our early season of prayer. Moving on into the Sunday school recommencing, we had 17 new children that started this morning, most of them from outside the congregation. We laid aside 2 young people for the mission field, going there for 3 months to serve the Lord in the land of Kenya. And now tonight, 3 students going to the Whitfield College of the Bible. Surely tokens for good. Thinking about this valedictory service, and thinking about our students returning to college, 2 of them returning, 1 going in to commence his first year, my mind and heart was drawn to a verse of scripture from this chapter. We're going to look at it in a moment. We will seek the Lord in prayer. First of all, our God and Father, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for answered prayer, for showing us tokens for good. We thank thee for the 3 young men that are being sent to college this term. And we thank thee for your word that we are turning to now. We pray for light and understanding and wisdom in our approach to the scriptures. We pray that you'll speak to the students especially, but speak to all of our hearts. May the Spirit of God be the great teacher that he has sent to be, to guide us into all truth. Give help from the sanctuary now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just reading our text tonight, it's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Jonathan mentioned 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. We come to the chapter before. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Something very rare and yet very blessed is happening in our congregation. We are sending 3 students this term into the Whitfield College of the Bible. And that is in addition to what happened this morning, David and Rachel being set aside for missionary service. We have Joshua going into his 4th year, Alex into his 3rd year, and Jonathan into 1st year. Very rare, because it is exceptional and remarkable that any one church has 3 of its members at Bible college at the same time. And very blessed in that God has been pleased to raise up men for the work of the gospel from Hebron. It's a token for good. It's a sign of the blessing of God resting upon the witness and the work in this house. Now, we have been praying locally and at a presbytery level for men to be raised up and sent into the Lord's vineyard. Very conscious that we need ministers on the home front and further afield. We need missionaries sent by God for the work of the gospel in other lands. And so we have obeyed the command of Christ, who tells us to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. And God has answered prayer. We have David and Rachel, who have just completed their course with New Tribes Mission and are seeking for the mind and the will of God in these days, going to Kenya, as we have indicated, for 3 months. And we have 3 students going to the Whitfield College this month for preparation for future ministry. You know, presently we have 13 or 14 vacant churches here in Northern Ireland. I don't know if you've been following that or you really appreciate the great need here in Northern Ireland. And then, of course, we have the work on the mainland and vacancies there. And what can we say about the vastness of the mission field where millions of people are perishing without hope? We have a mammoth responsibility, therefore, to reach the nations of the world. Indeed, it is the Great Commission, beginning in our Jerusalem and going to the uttermost part. See o'er the world wide open doors inviting. Soldiers of Christ, arise and enter in. Christians, awake, your forces all uniting, send forth the gospel, break the chains of sin. In that time of few laborers, our duty is to pray. And the promise of Christ, we believe, is that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's what's been happening in these few short years. We are blessed in that God is answering prayer, and we are humbled in that he has been pleased to put his omnipotent hands of deity upon these young men, called them in grace, and sent them forth to train for the work of the gospel. The training of the Lord's servants is vital in making them able ministers of the New Testament. As they become ministers, missionaries, and evangelists, they need a sound foundation, and this they will receive at college. They need to be schooled in sound biblical theology. They need to know the doctrines of God's Word. They must also acquire the skills of communication so that they are properly equipped for the preaching of the gospel, and this they will receive in their homiletics class. They must also know how to rightly divide the word of truth, so the college will teach them biblical hermeneutics, the study of the principles of interpretation concerning the books of the Bible. And so these, together with the other subjects that they will study, will help prepare them for the work of God and give them that foundation which is necessary to build upon. Our responsibility as a congregation is to remember them. It is to support them. It is to pray for them. But their responsibility in these college days is to study, to give themselves over to learning, acquiring an understanding of the Scriptures, and all those things that will prepare them for future ministry. And so I say to our students tonight that your primary object in college days is study. There are no shortcuts to the ministry. God requires his ministers that they have a proper knowledge of his word and that they prepare themselves. So my mind is drawn to this text, 2 Timothy 2:15, such an appropriate exhortation. It was Dr. John Douglas's prep talk with the students every year, and memory's maybe not so good, it could have been every term, but certainly every year when college commenced, the first thing on the agenda was a talk from the principal, and he would gather the students in and he would come to this text of the Word of God and he would exhort the students to study. That's my exhortation principally tonight, and I want to speak to them. And I trust there will be an application for all, but it is particularly for these three young men. I want you to notice, first of all, a serious injunction. And it is here summarized in the word study. Paul, writing his last words to the young minister Timothy, counsels him to study. And the word means to strive. It means to be diligent. This counsel is to all in similar positions, those who handle the Word of God. Our students must take heed to this exhortation and apply themselves to the work of the college. Our ministers, our evangelists, our Sunday school teachers, our workers likewise, we are to study. And Bible study is very important. We're not speaking about a cursory, shallow reading of the Scriptures. It is to be feared that many Christians read the Bible this way, or the Bible is a neglected book, a book that is gathering dust or discarded in the home, and very little time, very little attention is given to the Word of God. By and large, what is read is forgotten so quickly. It can't be for the Bible student. It can't be for these young men, nor for the serious Christian or the person who wants to make headway in the Christian life. Study necessitates diligence, taking time, meditation, committing to memory, learning the truths of the Scripture, applying what is read. Now, the students will have many subjects at college, and we say to them, study the subjects. They are all Bible-related, and they will help you in your future ministry. Secondly, there is a supreme aspiration. Study to show thyself approved unto God, not unto men. Our students are not out to please the lecturers, or the principal, or the presbytery, or even the home congregation from where they come. Though they ought to work hard under God, because it is the college that gives them the opportunity to study. Our principal objective is to please the Lord. And we need to keep this in mind. We need to walk every day in the knowledge that we are before the Lord. We are in His sight. We are laboring in the light of that day when we shall stand before Him and give an account. We want to be approved of God. We want to receive the well done of heaven. And this will give us an incentive. It will give real motivation. The key to being diligent in God's work is to be motivated. Motivation is the key to learning. And so it helps all students to apply themselves diligently to the work if they are to be motivated. There is an end result. There is some great goal before them. And so it inspires them, it motivates them. Wonder, have you ever been on an aeroplane and you have watched the passengers as the stewardess gives the safety instructions, how to use the emergency breathing apparatus where the emergency doors are located? You ever watched the passengers? Maybe even you're guilty of this yourself. They are reading the newspaper. They are making last texts or sending last texts on their phone, maybe even impatiently thinking, hurry up so that we can get on the journey. And they're not motivated by the instructions. The instructions are boring, you see. Maybe they've heard it all before. But suppose they are airborne and the pilot comes across on the intercom and he says, ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing severe trouble with our engines, and we're going to have to depressurize the cabin and make an emergency landing. And the stewardess is going to explain how to use the emergency breathing apparatus. Now, do you think that he would have to add the words, I want you to give attention to these instructions? I don't think so. People will be motivated. And so the key to being motivated, as far as diligence in the Word of God, is to recognize I live in the presence of God. Someday I'm going to give an account to Him. Yes, I want to know the Lord. The only way I can get to know Him is through the Scriptures. And I want to feed my soul in the things of the Lord. I want to know the mind and the will of God. But I want to be approved of Him. On that great day, I want the Lord to say, well done. Notice quickly a sincere exertion. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You see, my friends, the work of the gospel, the ministry of the word, the preaching of Christ, and all the preparation that goes with it is a work. It's a good work. It's a holy work. It's a solemn, spiritual, and strenuous work. It's not easy to sit down and to study and to prepare one's heart and mind and message. It takes a lot of effort and time and energy. It can be exhausting. You've listened to the students tonight who have already come through a number of years at college. We are workmen. I say that to the students. You are a workman. And that conjures up all kinds of provoking thoughts. You see, we're living in an age where people want to do as little as possible for the greatest possible results. That's so in the employments of this world. It is so in the sports and the pastimes of this world. But any man will tell you that the highest achievers are those who are workmen. They apply themselves. They are diligent. They take painstaking hours to labor. A successful student is going to be like this in the ordinary academics of life. The businessman who is going to make headway, he will know what it is to be a workman, to labor diligently. The sports personality likewise. And it's no different in gospel work. If we are to see results and a blessed outcome in our service for Christ, we must be workmen. Time, energy, diligence, hard work. And I believe that God blesses energetic labor. You'll note also that we are to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We are to be so careful, so faithful, and watchful that our work doesn't cause shame to ourselves or to others. We are to be so diligent in our labors that we have an accurate understanding of the Word of God. Because it is a shameful thing when God's workmen do not know the Scriptures. They don't know the doctrines of divine truth. Furthermore, we are to live the truth that we know. It's a shameful thing when God's workmen do not live lives agreeable to the doctrines that they preach. As workmen, we are to be diligent and fervent and zealous in our service for Christ. For it is a shameful thing that God's workmen do service for Him that is slothful and from a lukewarm spirit. I wouldn't want my labors to be like that. And God doesn't want it to be so. No, we are to be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. And then finally, there's a solemn obligation. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is a title referring to the Scriptures of truth. We study diligently as workmen to know the Bible, to learn theology, the doctrine of God, to know God, the God of this book, in the great trinity of His persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to discover the glorious attributes and perfections of the Almighty, to be familiar with the great history of God's dealings with man, to grasp as far as it lies within us the wonderful doctrines of the gospel, which center upon the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And then we are to rightly divide these truths. It is not merely to divide the text into its proper parts, though care should be taken that this is done aright. It is to be well versed in all the Bible, to know every part of it, to be able to declare and explain its truths. You don't want to neglect the Old Testament, as many Christians do. You don't want to skip over books like Leviticus or maybe the book of Job or Revelation because they are difficult books. You don't want to concentrate so much on Abraham and David and Isaiah, Peter and Paul and John, these famous characters of the Bible, that you miss the lesser characters. Like that little man, Jabez, that's known for his prayer. What a prayer it is. You wouldn't want to miss his prayer. Just one verse in the Bible. Or to think about some of these judges that we've looked at over the past number of weeks. Or maybe Phoebe in the New Testament, the servant of the church who succored many people, including the great apostle Paul himself. You will want to be able to declare the fundamental doctrines of evangelical reformed faith, redemption, justification, adoption, sanctification, glorification, all those important doctrines surrounding the person and the work of Christ, His eternal sonship, His virgin birth, His deity, His death and resurrection, His great atonement. And you will want to be able to rightly divide the foundational truths of the gospel so that sinners will be led savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. The term that is used by the apostle here, rightly dividing, is actually a word in the original that means cutting. To divide the word of God is to cut it open and dissect it into its several parts, to search and to look into the inside and the bottom of it, to find out every truth contained in it, and then to lay it open to other people. As ministers of the gospel, we are to distribute the spiritual food found in the word of God to those around us, to the babes in Christ, newly saved, just recently brought to Christ, but also to the mothers in Israel that need to be fed upon the word of the Lord, to the backsliding and faltering Christian that needs to be led back to Christ, and to those poor, darkened souls on the road to hell that need God's salvation. Oh, I pray for an appropriate word. Every time I come to the pulpit, every time I open this book, every time I stand to plead with the congregation here, a word in season, a word that is suitable, a word from God that will search out the hearts of those that are gathered. I pray that our young ministers will seek likewise, our students, as they go to the college. As free as rightly dividing the word of truth could very well be translated, rightly handling or rightly preaching the word of truth. In other words, we are to give the true sense of the scripture. We don't change it. We don't pervert it in any way. We don't water it down. We don't add to it or take away from it. We present it as it is. We are to show unto men the way of salvation. We are to faithfully declare and plainly declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We are to study, therefore, before the Lord as workmen, so that we might rightly divide the word of truth, taking heed to ourselves, taking heed to our doctrine, reading, meditating, digesting, knowing the scriptures, that we might with diligence and faithfulness and sincerity preach the scriptures to others. Just as I close tonight, I want to simply rightly divide the word of truth to dear sinners that are in this service this evening. Just as we bring this meeting to an end and draw our thoughts together, I want to speak to you. I want to remind you that the scripture declares the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You're under the just, holy, judicial sentence of Almighty God. God says you will die because of your sin. The wages of sin is death. Not death's eternal. There's one day the books are opened. The dead are given up from the earth, from the sea. That passage in Revelation 20 tells us. They stand before the judgment of Almighty God, that great white throne that is set up. There Christ in all his brilliant and dazzling splendor sits upon that throne as the judge of all the earth. And men are judged, the Bible says, according to their works. And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So when the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die, the wages of sin is death, it's referring to the second death in the lake of fire forevermore. My friend, you're under the condemnation of God. If you are without Christ in this meeting and you're not saved, what an awful place to be in. Please know that in your natural, unregenerated state, that you are without God and you are without hope and you're under this eternal condemnation. The wrath of God against sin hangs over you. There is but a step between you and death. More importantly, there's a step between you and eternity. Just a step. I don't know when you're going to take that step, but that step you will take, and it will bring you into death and will bring you into eternity. Just one step. But I've got good news tonight. It is the good news of the gospel. You do not have to die in your sin. And you do not have to be lost forevermore. Christ Jesus, the eternal Son of the infinite God, came into this world. Why did he come? As we said this morning, to save sinners. That was his mission. He can do that for you tonight. He went to the cross. He laid down his life in a sacrifice for sin. It's the only way. Our sins were laid upon him. He took the punishment that we deserved. In other words, he stood in our place, in our stead, as our substitute. He bore the eternal wrath of God against sin, that we might be saved. So here's the gospel. As we seek in simple terms, concluding this meeting tonight, to rightly divide the word of truth, as a sinner you're under God's condemnation. You deserve to die. So did I. So do I. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And maybe you might see yourself as the Apostle Paul did, as the chiefest of them all. He can save you too. He can save you now. He can save you tonight. That's his mercy. That's his love. That's his grace. But you need to come. You need to believe. You need to repent. Let us bow together in prayer. The word in the main has been to our students. It's applicable to everyone tonight. All of us, we ought to study to show ourselves approved to God. Get to know the Lord. Get to know his word. Live by it. So that we're not ashamed of what we do, or bring shame to the gospel, or bring shame to Christ. No, we want to be approved of the Lord. But these closing moments, there's been that little application to the unconverted. It is our prayer that you'll come to the Savior. You'll make no delay. We're here to help you, to encourage you. Oh, Father in heaven, you've been speaking to our hearts tonight. Thank thee for the testimonies. Thank thee for your grace that saved these young men, that called them into the work. Thank thee for these years when they will study to show themselves approved to God. Help them, we pray, in every subject. Help them to grasp divine truth. Give them, Lord, that great foundation upon which they can build in future days as the Lord brings them into the ministry or onto the mission field, whatever you have for them. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak to the unsaved. Bring them to Christ. Show them their need. Show them, Lord, the condemnation that they're under. But show them that there is a remedy in our dear Savior. And all that he came to do, for Jesus' sake. Amen.